Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I too have been gone for two Sundays now, and it feels good to be home again and to worship here. And studying that Sunday school lesson, it was good study. And a lot of thoughts come to your mind, but I think we'll move on with what the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning to share. You can turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, and I've simply titled the message, the first part of that verse. The title is, Love Not the World. Love not the world. Let's start reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're going to take these three verses here, and we're going to strive to pull some thoughts from to break these verses down and to realize what John the writer is trying to say to us today and to apply it to our lives to us in 2025. Has this call that John has telling here in Scripture, is it gotten any less in the 2,000 years since it was wrote? I don't believe so. I think it's a challenge to us. Because we like life and we like things in this world. And if we just graze over the top of this verse and we can say, well, then you just can't love anything in the world. It's not what John's writing. I hope we can bring that out as we go through this passage. I have 5 points to the message here this morning as I look at these verses here. And the first point I have goes back to verses before that we didn't read. But he is writing to the people and he says, I write unto you fathers, I write unto you young men. He's writing to everyone, I. And then he comes into this verse 15. And the first point I want to look at is that this what he's talking about in verse 15 is a personal call for each and every one of us. It's not for just some certain people sitting on a specific bench, but it's for every child of God. He says, I write unto you in the verses prior, but it's to each and every one of us, this passage here. Love not the world. There is a battle. Nelson talked about in the opening part here about the battle that we face, and it is a battle to love not the world. It's a personal call. I'd just like to just use that 2 Timothy 3:16, that scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We know those verses. We love them. That's a verse here. And so as we ponder this, going through this, I wanted to bring that as a first point that is a personal to each and every one. So here this morning, if you're sitting here, well, I'm going to strive to bring these points I have to what you can understand and what you can grasp a hold of. I don't want anyone to go out of here and feel like it somehow he just talked about something that don't apply to me. This is something that for each and every one of us to ponder in our own lives. Let's go to the second point of the message. And I've taken those words, love not. Love not. I ask you this morning, how is love revealed and displayed? Think about in a family setting, how is love revealed and displayed? Well, we say, you've heard probably people say, well, everybody has their different love language, and I understand, I do agree with that. But there is something that we all and each and every one know whether there's love or not for it, for us. Children, if you really think through it, you know whether your parents love you or not. Maybe it's through attention. Parents, they give your children attention. We were at a marriage seminar one time, and one of the points that was made there that has stuck with me many times since that. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Oh yes, many times in life it is spelled that way. People know whether you love them or not by how much time you spend to them and how much time you invest in them. And I'm talking about quality time, not just a surface time. Maybe it's a protection that our loved ones feel from us as we do all we can to keep them safe. Scripture calls us to love. I want you to think about that. The second point here is love not, but we're on the other side of it. We're looking at love. The scripture calls us to love. We know that passage in Matthew where Jesus, in the commandments there, Jesus was asked a question in Matthew 22, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love God with all your heart, soul, mind. It's the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Your command to love in that passage there. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, these words ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The command to love. God, first and foremost. Our brothers and sisters, this relationship shows our love to God. And it says in Matthew 5 about loving our enemies. There's commands in Scripture all over to love people, those about us. But in this passage here, in 1 John chapter 2, he says, love not. There is a deliberate choice. It is placed, let's say it this way, it is placed within each and every one of us to love things. God placed that in us. And he also placed within us to share love to people. But this morning we're talking about two things. It's so easy for us to lose focus of what we are actually, that desire that God planted within us to love, and we start turning it to things of this world, and we start loving it, and we start letting them take first place in our life, to take your time and attention. And so this morning, when he says, love not, we need to stop and evaluate priorities in our lives. Where am I at in this journey? In this loving not? Am I saying no to what needs said no to? What we value, what we take first place in our life, we can pretty much say that that's what we love. And you can put a lot of things in there in life as you ponder your own life. I can look at my life and I can see things that take first place, and sometimes I have to rearrange them because of this passage here, and I evaluate my own life and the walk with Christ and realize that something else is trying to get in. And Satan loves to do that. He always loves to do that because he can start undermining your relationship with the Lord by taking your love and placing it the wrong place. And that is with the world. And so the third point I have this morning is the world. Love not the world. When you ponder this passage and you think about love not the world, what goes through your mind? Well, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's not what he's talking about. That's a different use of the word world. He's not referring to people when he talks about love not the world. He does not refer to creation. God created everything. He made it beautiful and he keeps it all operating and ruling. And God is taking care of his creation. You think about that Matthew 6 where God says about he takes care of the fowls of the air and he takes care of the lilies of the field and he takes care of you and I. That's not what we're talking about this morning when we talk about the world. If we had a globe up here and you could see that whole round globe and you see spots on it that would just envision it with me and you see spots that is land and you know there's people usually living on that land. It's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the globe, the world as we know it. He's not talking here about the dirt you walk on, the earth. I'd like to give a different definition for this word world. Love not the world. The world, an organized system that is under the devil's control and leaves out God and Christ. The system of sinful humanity that possesses a spirit of rebellion against God. Catch that, or do you want me to read it again? Let's read it again. Organized system that is under the devil's control and leaves out God and Christ. The system of sinful humanity that possesses a spirit of rebellion against God. That's this world we're talking about. The system of the world lives in rebellion to God's system that he's placed in order. He's saying here, don't love the system. Don't love the world system of doing things. Don't love it. Because Satan is in behind it and he's working it out and having his will and way through some of that. Now, we say, love not the world, the system. That's out there, right? That's somehow out there in the world. And it doesn't affect us, or does it? Sim Yoder, I've heard him a number of times make this statement. Something to the effect, and I should have wrote that down, but it goes to this effect. The winds of the world will eventually shake the curtains of the church. And I want you to think about that. There is a system out there in the world that is there, and when Satan has people following for self and following for what they can get out of life, and it's all part of this world system. And each and every one of us can fall into that same desire to chase. Can we just call it the American dream? It doesn't just stop here in America, but it's everywhere. And it's the ease of life and the ease all for self. Love not the world. Don't love their system. Say no and evaluate your life. Who am I following? Let's go to the fourth point I have. Neither the things that are in the world. It's the fourth one I want to look at. So we take from 1 John chapter 2. neither the things that are in the world. I touched a little bit on that already at the start of this message. And I trust that you already know that, but I want to stir our memories a little more on this. So you're saying that we can't enjoy life. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what this passage is saying. It's not saying that we should never have any joy in this life or anything in this world. I ask you this morning, maybe this way, to get your mind thinking about this. Is money bad? Is it bad for us to have money? No. But the Bible talks about the pursuit, when that's your drive and desire, is the wealth, and you just press on. That's the things of this world. That drive there. What about a house? Is a house bad? No, it keeps us sheltered from the elements about us. When it gets to be that your house is for show, I question whether your love is starting to get in the world. You to think about that. It can come in the decoration. It can come in what for house you live in. Young men love cars. Is a car bad? No. No, I don't think we have to go drive horse and buggy. But when it becomes your focus in life, and your idea is to have the best and the greatest. Beware. Beware. There is many more we can put there. You can put dresses. Of course they're not bad. We want them. But the world says in a dress that you need to do it for show. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. Again, I highlight that I'm not saying that we should not enjoy things in this life. Things have their place. What we're talking about this morning is our focus and our goal in life. These things must never become our focus and our goal, and we must evaluate what is our focus and goal in life. Let's highlight now in this point yet. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, we're talking about things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have three things there. There's the struggle. There's where you're going to find the struggle at. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'd like to read that verse in the Amplified version, because sometimes I like to read that as I'm studying. And I enjoy when they add extra words that I can maybe wrap my mind a little better around what it's talking about. And verse 16 says this in the Amplified, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, or the craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, or a greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, which is the assurance in one's own resources and the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And so you ponder that as we think about these three things here. Verse 17 says, the world passes away and disappears. And we'll get to that later here. Maybe a little more here. That world is going to pass away and disappear. The world we live in. But the devil is our adversary. And he comes at us through the world and its appeals. And he holds it out there for us. And he tempts us in many different ways. It can be, I think somewhere this morning I heard about a cell phone. It can be through a cell phone. It can be through things you see on the street. Well, let's go here. Let's Genesis chapter 3. Turn your Bibles to there. I want you to ponder this as we think about this temptation. The three that are listed there in 1 John. We know as we go to Genesis chapter 3, this is in the creation. And they're living in the Garden of Eden. And let's start reading in verse 1, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And of course we know that when God came walking in the garden, they ran and hid themselves. Love not the world and the things that are in the world. I want you to think about this. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In the verse 1, we have this crafty serpent, the devil. That is, in his craftiness, came to tempt Eve. And his craftiness, I bring it to us today, his craftiness has not got any less. He does all he can. In verse 1 through 5, Eve starts having this dialogue with Satan, with the serpent there, with Satan. And she's having this dialogue instead of fleeing the temptation. She stays there and dabbles with it. Look what happened in verse 6. She saw that the food was good. That this the fruit was good for food. It was the lust of the flesh was eating at her. And she saw it. There we have the lust of the eyes. And there's a tree to make you wise. There you have the pride of life. Three things that Satan came with temptation to her. And she fell for it. Well, that was back then. We never have those troubles, do we? Oh, yes, we do. We still have the same temptations to us. Let's go to a New Testament account. A man that was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And you know that's Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. I'd like to read from Jesus in his temptation here. And I want you to think of those three things that happen in temptation. Then was Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt not worship. Let's read that again, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11, there the devil leaveth him. And the angels came and ministered. We see Jesus in his temptation. This account in Scripture, in three of the Gospels that have it, they immediately follows Jesus in his baptism. And suddenly here comes the devil, and he takes him out there and he starts tempting him. What is the first temptation? Make these stones bread, right? Make these stones bread. Jesus had fasted. He was hungry. Wouldn't you just want something to eat? It is the lust of the flesh. It wanted to fulfill the desires of his flesh, and that is for something to eat. And Satan hit him right there. The lust of the flesh, to appeal to the flesh. What your body wants. Next one was pinnacle of the temple, cast yourself down. Because the Lord will take care of you. You could do whatever you want. After all, you're God. You have it all under control. You have it all taken care of. Yes, he was God. It was the pride of life. Satan was striving hard to in tempting Jesus with the pride of life. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't go there. And the last temptation of Jesus was that high mountain. And I believe Satan showed something to Jesus that actually was a real temptation to him. We look at it and we say, well, he was God. He had everything. But there was something that I believe this was a real temptation. And he showed him the glory of the kingdom. And it was the pride of life. I've got those two mixed up in my notes there. Lust of the flesh was for the bread. Lust of the eyes was the temple. And now this one here is the pride of life. It was a pride they wanted to bring into him. This is the kingdoms you could have. You could be great in life. It is all part of the world and it is passing away. We need to remember that as we go through life. The things that are in this world are passing away. There is only but time that we have, and then it's all destroyed. Let's go to the fifth point. From our verses there in 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. The love of the Father is not in him. Last of verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a serious thought to ponder. Matthew 6:24 says this, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't let the world have a foothold in your life and somehow expect to still love God. James 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I want to impress on us this morning that this love, not the world, is very serious in our lives. We must continue to evaluate it in our daily lives. Our flesh, our human nature, it's from inside of us. It's that carnal nature that we're born with. It's never completely gone. As we go through life, you're going to have to continually say no. There's no better life to live than the Christian life. But I've heard people say in the past, why does a Christian life have to be so hard? Well, it's a warfare. It's a fight. And the Satan wants us and God wants us. Which side are we going to let win? You're going to have to say no to one or the other. The choice that we've talked about earlier. Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 21, at the end of that verse, he says this, I die daily. He knew what it's like to say no to things of this world. It's very important that we evaluate our daily lives. What is my focus in life? What is my priorities in life and the things of this life? Is it to do God's will or live for self? We might say, we enjoy things of this world. And I said earlier that it's okay to enjoy things. But my caution is that so soon we lose that point and we start following that and it starts becoming our God that we follow after. And soon we are following that system of the world. And we go to their means. And so it's very important that we continue to keep focused in life of living for God. The issue of loving the world, it's not on the outside, although it shows up on the outside. This morning, this message, what we're talking about, it's an issue of the heart. Where your heart is, that's where you will be. Guard your heart. Keep it strong for Christ, and you will maintain a strong relationship with Christ all through life. But if you hanker for the world, you're going to find yourself keep going that way. And you will struggle somehow trying to find a balance, and it doesn't work. It's called lukewarmness. And God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Just a few closing thoughts. Some things I came across in this study for us to ponder. What is loving the world? It is excessively craving for the things of the world at all costs and seeing them as ultimate in my life. That quote I'd like to highlight mostly on the end part of it there. What do you see as the ultimate for your life? One more question. What is your relationship to the world? Is the world in you? Is it in me? May God help us to, as we go through life, to evaluate our lives. Do I love the world and its system? this ease of America that we live in? Or do we just realize that we are but strangers and pilgrims here? And the things of this world are but things that the devil uses to trip me up. And may we be faithful in overcoming that temptation, being strong for the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.